Father, we come to you this morning and we come to you with heavy hearts. We pray for Jenny and the Benedict family. Father, we know these are days of great sorrow for them. But we do ask that you would come close and be the comforter, Father, for them at this time. We thank you for Kevin's life. We thank you, Father, the service that he gave for those many years to keep others safe. And Father, that we thank you for the way that you have come close this week. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom that you have provided. Father, I pray that as folks come into the room this morning, everybody comes with a week of experiences. I pray that we would get in the habit of always seeing you in the context of those experiences. So, Father, as we turn your word this morning to deal with an issue that is, well, it is probably one of the most difficult issues we could deal with because we're all guilty. But you take control this morning, Father, and speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In 36 years of standing in this place or close to it, we moved the auditorium a few times. In 36 years, I've learned to know when I'm over the target. And because the events of the week verify that. And every day this week was filled with one of those over-the-target experience. And so the Lord is faithful. And he sees you through everything. And so I thought, well, we're finally getting to the end of the week and get over it. I walk out the back door this morning, and I've got this big Angus calf on his back in a concrete feeder. Legs are up in the air. Now, you can talk to some of the cattle people in here. Jody, that's a big deal now, isn't it? And Joanna was already headed out the door, and she said, she hollered, she said, John, there's a calf out there, and his feet are in the air, you know. And so I was dressed for church. I was ready to go. So I ran out there in my church clothes, and by the grace of God, he wasn't gone yet, so I flipped him up out of the feeder, and, well, the week ended well, all right? But it's been one of those weeks. The reason is we're going to look this morning at the tongue, an issue that all of us struggle with, an issue that causes us much grief and despair. We're going to look this morning at the tongue that can be used to bring glory to God, or is set on fire by hell. So let me read the verses in chapter 4 where we're going to be. I'll start with verse 11. We'll read 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So we're going to speak about, look this morning about this issue of the tongue. God created us with a tongue. We're aware of that, I'm pretty sure. But he gave us a tongue for the purpose of praising him and bringing glory to his name. That's the reason that we have this member of our body, is for the purpose to give God praise and glory. So we can bring God glory through prayer. And I would encourage you when you pray to speak out loud to him, all right? You say, well, I just pray in my mind. Your mind, folks, is that place where the battle takes place. But if you're speaking out loud to him, I encourage you to do that. So our tongue can be used to bring him glory through prayer. We can proclaim his word, and I pray that you're about that on a regular basis. And we can share the gospel with other people using our tongue. And we can promote all things that are good and holy. All of that with the tongue that God has given us. And the truth of the matter is, our tongue reflects our heart, though. And when I mention our heart, we use that a lot, I thought, this week. We're always talking about our heart. I don't know if we understand what that is. We're not talking about this 12 to 15 ounce organ in the center of our chest. That's not what the heart is. It's not that muscle that pumps blood throughout our body. The heart is the essence of who we are. There are two types of heart that we can have. A person can have an unredeemed heart. An unredeemed heart controls the tongue. And that tongue that is controlled by an unredeemed heart speaks of things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Listen to a person, and you can tell the condition of their heart. An evil heart inspires the tongue to speak things that God hates. Speaking evil of others comes from a tongue. And the scripture says that is set on fire by hell. An unredeemed heart speaks through a tongue that is used to kill, steal, and destroy. I would encourage you to inventory what you say. What are you talking about when you talk? And if you are thinking about saying it, I pray at that time that you would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you're here this morning and you're yet to believe, you have no control over your tongue. The control of your tongue is by He who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But that's an unredeemed heart. A redeemed heart inspires the tongue to speak the words of God. A redeemed heart causes the tongue to speak the will of God. A redeemed heart controls every situation as to what we say, both whether we create it or we're responding to someone else. A redeemed heart inspires us to speak the things of God. And folks, I want you to know that speaking God's words is always appropriate. Don't caution yourself, well, it wasn't the right crowd, or it's not something you would say in front of people like that. If you're in Christ Jesus, it is always appropriate to give a testimony of your Heavenly Father and His Son whom He sent to die for you. You think, well, that could be socially awkward. Well, we are a remnant, aren't we? Did Jesus spare anything in giving His life for us? Did He call angels to come and rescue Him from the cross? Folks, with the boldness that our Lord has, we're to have the same boldness in the people that we're around. And if you have a redeemed heart, your tongue is going to be used as a testimony to tell others about Him and to bring glory to His name. Speaking God's words is always appropriate. And never let a situation pass until you plant God's flag in the situation. I challenge you to turn every conversation you have quickly to Him, so that within the first few minutes of that conversation, you have said something, you have placed your flag in that conversation, and you have turned it to Him. You think, well, that could be socially awkward. Would it be as socially awkward to hang on a cross naked before the world, dying for you and me? If he was bold enough to do that for us, folks, we must be bold enough to speak for him in every conversation we have. Also, a believer must never speak evil of God or any other person. Do not use your tongue, folks, in any way that could be called evil. Those jokes that are kind of off-color but funny, don't be guilty of that. And if someone wants to start telling you a joke like that, stop them and say, I'd rather you not do that. In fact, if you're going ahead, I'll excuse myself. So let's look this morning, first of all, at the sins of the tongue. And then we're going to look at sanctioned speech. And finally, speech that is offensive to God. That's where we're going today. So let's begin with the sins of the tongue. As we've already spoke to, the heart, we use that term and I don't think we understand what we're talking about. You know, we ask little ones especially, have you asked Jesus into your heart? And we speak, it hurt my heart when they said that. So what are we dealing with? The heart is our spiritual and moral core. And our heart controls the mind, our mind. And the mind then controls the tongue. Do you see the sequence there? So what we say, what we speak with our tongue, originated in our heart. And so if a person has an evil heart, an unredeemed heart, the heart of a lost person, their tongue is going to express that. Well, the same is true if you are a child of God. If your heart has been renewed, been born again, then what comes out of your heart is going to be the opposite of what comes out of a heart of an unredeemed person. The heart controls the mind, and the mind controls the tongue. And what a person says reveals whose we are. A person filled by the Holy Spirit will not commit the sins of the tongue. A person filled by the Holy Spirit cannot commit the sins of the tongue. And you're right, I have a list. And I want you to personalize these. Run an inventory. Check off these that may be issues in your life. Here are the sins of the tongue. Lying, white lies and black lies. There's only one lie. It's a lie. Include lying, gossip, malice. That's a word I don't use every day. Malice is verbal plans to harm other people. That's what malice is. So lying, gossip, malice, bitter words, complaining, condemnation, cursing, using foul language, cursing others, slander, false teaching, judgment of others, blaspheming God, blaspheming Christ's church, blaspheming other believers, idle foolish talk, profanity of every kind, complaining, grumbling, flattery, harsh angry speech, boasting and slander. And some of you, I know, had a hitch when I said flattery. Folks, flattery is just lying to a person to their face. Really, okay? Flattery is not a compliment. Flattery is, as kids say, kissing up, right? Well, folks, that's a sin of the tongue. And let me emphasize again, the tongue reflects the heart. What is in the heart is going to come out through the tongue. As a Christ follower, we must never commit the sins of the tongue. And I want to pray over you this morning that your tongue will always demonstrate who you are in Christ. That's my prayer for you this morning. That your tongue going forward, that you will be convicted for any use of these sins of the tongue. That it won't be just one of those times that you say, well, that's just, you know, I didn't say. Folks, the tongue is going to express what's going on inside of us. So a Christ follower must never commit the sins of the tongue. And if you do, you should expect the chastisement of God. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son or daughter whom he receives. Folks, we've got to deal with this issue. Because we see it as those, not really, it is sin. There are sins of the tongue. New creations in Christ Jesus have a new mind, the mind of Christ. And with the mind of Christ, we have the power to control our tongue. And I pray that you're challenged this morning to begin to practice that in your life. Well, how do you control the tongue? Fair question. We think it's not a sin, so we've excused it in most cases. Or I slipped up, or those kind of things. To control the tongue, a believer must yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in us. And the Holy Spirit who lives in us will control what we say. In fact, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Before you say it, grab the thought and analyze it quickly. Is this something that what I'm going to say, does this glorify God or does this destroy my testimony and another person? You do not have the right to hurt other people with your tongue. You say, well, I don't drink and I don't run around and those kind of things. But what about the tongue? Do you think God says, well, they're okay, that was just a tongue sin? No. Folks, he sees all sin the same. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because before you say it, it was in your mind. And you made a decision whether or not to say it or not. A believer who commits sin with their tongue should be expected to be chastened by the Lord. There's no free rides on that. You see, the sin of a tongue is just as severe in God's eyes as any other sin. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son or daughter whom he receives. You are going to be chastened because of the sins of the tongue. And also, we need to hold each other accountable at this point. Because we're always talking. Nothing wrong with that. But when you hear a brother or sister in Christ use their tongue in an inappropriate way, challenge them. I mean, don't hit them or anything like that. But just say, Bob, can you explain to me why you know, that kind of thing. I fix somebody who doesn't have a problem in this area, okay? All right. But hold each other accountable. I came across a verse in Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. Listen to it. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Those are marching orders for us to hold each other accountable. And you don't have to be, don't be cruel about it. But just kind of like I said, hey, Mary, Bob, whomever, okay, can you explain to me how that glorifies the Lord? And just use it in the form of a question. You can't let a question go. Second this morning, sanctioned speech, all right? Sins of the tongue, well, what speech is sanctioned by the Lord? Let me give you a list here. Because speech, all of our speech is supposed to be sanctioned by the Holy Spirit before we utter it. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer. He is the clearinghouse for what we say. So sanctioned speech includes praise to God. Sanctioned speech involves forth-telling the gospel, proclaiming God's word. Sanctioned speech includes encouraging other people, teaching our children, witnessing regardless of the situation. And may I challenge us at this point as well. In every conversation that you're involved in, with whomever, in the first few moments of that conversation, I challenge you to turn that conversation to the Lord. What am I talking about there? You're speaking to a person, and early in that conversation, they need to be aware of the fact that you're a child of God. You say, well, that could be socially awkward. Who's Lord? You're talking about all the other things that are important to you, aren't you, in the conversation? You're talking about your hobbies, your work, you're talking about your family, you're talking about all these other things. Why aren't you talking about that which is most important? And bring that up early in the conversation. That person should know early on that you're a Christ follower, or be reminded that you are. Sanctioned speech also includes sharing blessings, the blessings of God. Always speaking in the context of your Lord and Savior, not in the context of your brilliance and your work ethic and all these kind of things, but in what He has done. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Sanctioned speech includes expressing God's love in every conversation. Folks, have you noticed that everybody has a crisis or a problem in their life? Have you noticed that? And everyone wants to talk about the crisis or problem in their life. And whether they trust you or not, they'll bring it up. As a Christ follower, stop right there. Make eye contact with the individuals, with the individual, and say, can I pray for you right now? Folks, are they doing anything but by telling you about it, begging for help? Well, don't give them advice and don't say, tell your experiences in that situation or whatever, but say, you know, Sam, can we bow right now? I want to pray for you about that. You say, that's weird. Can you think of anything that would be more necessary in that situation? Sanctioned speech includes sharing blessings, the things that God has done. Sanctioned speech involves expressing God's love in the conversations that we just mentioned. And sharing God's truth, regardless of the setting or who's present. And remember that truth is what God says and what God sees. So you want to speak only what is true, even when it's awkward to do so. It'll shut down a bad conversation in a hurry. It really will. Sanctioned speech includes sharing wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is God's thinking. That's what wisdom is. And so you're involved in a conversation with the person, and maybe it's something that they don't know what to do, and they're just kind of frazzled about it, and they've got this. People tell you about their problems quickly, all right? Now, what you need at that time is God's thinking to share with them. So how do you get God's thinking? How do you get His wisdom? The Scripture tells us, if any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men and women liberally. You see, that's your prayer. That while they're talking, you're praying. And He's going to give you on the spot the wisdom, His thinking about the situation they're describing to you. Now, I know some of you are just writing this off this morning. Folks, if you're lost this morning, this means nothing to you. But if you're a child of God this morning, God is very serious about our tongue and how we use it. Sanctioned speech by God is encouraging others. Seek out those who need encouragement. They're all around us. They're in this room this morning. As I stand out there and try to greet folks as they come in, I can look at them, their face in the parking lot, and I can tell whether their life is joyful or whether they're just bearing the burdens of just living. Look at a person's eyes. Eyes communicate everything. And when you see that, encourage that person. See, I see you're down a little bit down today. What's going on? They want to talk about it. They want to talk about it. And so when they talk, you listen. And then encourage them. Even seek them out to those who need encouragement. Sanctioned speech also includes reconciliation with other people, initiated by you. If you're having one of those issues with somebody, you be the aggressor. You initiate bringing together that relationship, that fellowship. Speak the truth in every context. Never let it be said that you did not speak the truth. And finally, sanctioned speech is truth. Truth is what God says and what God sees. Now, if you don't have the notes, get a copy of them, okay? And put them in a place where you can be reminded of the kind of speech that God sanctions. Finally, this morning, let's look at speaking that offends God. There is speech that is sanctioned by God, and there is speech that offends God. First of all, speaking against or judging a brother or sister, that offends God. Verse 11 told us that. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. That is an offense to God. When you speak against a brother or sister in Christ, that not only offends them, but it offends your Heavenly Father. A brother or sister in Christ is first God's son or daughter. And you know what it's like when people start saying bad things about your kids. Well, God feels the same way. Don't be party to that. And if something like that is going on, you be the person that steps up and stops it right there in the midst of that social setting. Verse 11 says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother or sister speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, who is James writing to here? Yes, the 12 tribes in dispersion, okay? So when he said this, this doesn't mean a lot to us. But he's calling these folks out. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother or sister speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now James writing to these 12 tribes, Jewish people, people who revered the law. But you say, well, sorry for those guys, but that doesn't apply to us. Time out. Applied to us. Who do we follow? Good. One person. The rest of you come forward with the invitation, okay? As a follower of Christ, he has fulfilled the law, and so we follow him. And since he fulfilled the law, in following him, we're fulfilling the law. We're not Jewish. We may have some Jewish folks with us, and God bless you. Welcome here. But what, Father, folks, applied to us, we follow Christ who has fulfilled the law. That's how it applies in our situation. Hence, we are never to speak against or judge a brother or sister in Christ. That is something that is taboo as far as the Word of God. We are to never judge one another. You see, speech is both proactive and reactive. Proactive speech is that which originates with us. Reactive speech is what we say in response to something somebody said to us. So in both situations, we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are to never be guilty of judging a brother or sister, as in condemnation, criticism, heaven forbid, cursing them or gossiping about them. Folks, this is an issue that God takes seriously, this use of the tongue. And I'm calling us out this morning. I'm calling us out to be very sensitive to what we say. Sins of the tongue usurps Christ's authority and can usurp his authority as the judge. When we make those condemning statements, criticism, judging, telling somebody this, that, or the other that they're doing, that job is not ours to do because we're not the judge. But when we usurp that authority and judge other people, then Christ is not honored and the person's probably going to be offended. Judging other people is reserved for God, not for us. We have a responsibility to other people, and that is to love them as Christ loved the church. If you are guilty of having that critical spirit where you're judging somebody else, folks, would you confess that as sin this morning and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power to overcome that temptation that you have to always be critical and judgmental concerning another person? Verse 12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge. Only one who is able to save and destroy. And the one who gave the law, the lawgiver, and you need to thank Trinity here, okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The one who gave the law did so for many reasons. You see, the law was given specifically to the Jews. But there's parts of the law that applies both to Jews and Gentiles. You can read over there in Acts 15 where that decree came forward early in the early church. But you see, Christ came to fulfill the law. And so if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, then we're living in fulfillment to the law. Now it's not the law that's dominating our life. But it's who we are. The law was simply the mind of God that he shared with his people. And he shared it. There was the ceremonial law, the moral law, and the civil law. But the law was something God gave to his chosen people, fulfilled in Christ. So specifically, the lawgiver and judge is Christ Jesus. That's where I'm going. John 5:22 says this. The Father, God the Father, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. So God the Son is the judge. God is three in one, Psalm 75 says. God is the judge, Psalms 50 says. God himself is judge, Isaiah 33. The Lord is our judge. James 4 says there is only one lawgiver and judge. Acts 17, God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man he has appointed, the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:30 says the Lord will judge his people. Matthew 7:1-2, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce you will be judged. God is serious about this, folks. He has plainly stated in his word our responsibility and our irresponsibility when it comes to judgment. But his judgment is absolute. He alone is the judge. If you have that problem where you are judging other people, that you are quick to spot things that are wrong and tell them about it maybe, or talk about it with somebody else. Folks, if you're in Christ Jesus this morning, would you confess that sin and turn from it? Our responsibility is not to judge others. Our responsibility is to love others. Verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Verse 12, who are you to judge your brother? This is what the Lord is asking us this morning. Take an inventory. He is telling us, how you doing in this deal of judging others? Do you have a critical spirit? Are you always criticizing someone? That's judging. Oh, folks, we must deal with this issue. It not only tarnishes the testimony of Jesus Christ, it can destroy a church. As people in the church start criticizing and condemning and stepping up as I am the boss here and those kind of things. And I'll tell you what to do. You're doing it wrong. I'll tell you how to do it. Folks, all of that is a form of judgment. In place of speaking evil against a brother or sister, pray for them. You know how you get those little mind games going? You know, you have that argument with the person or this debate or they say, you know. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. All right? In place of doing that which you're going to say, which is evil with your tongue, take that thought captive and turn that critical spirit that you have to a prayer for that person. You say, you can't do it. If you're in Christ, you must do that. And you become a person who is asking God to bless that brother or sister that you think is so wrong that you're speaking evil of them. Speaking evil against brothers and sisters in the body has damaged so many churches and has destroyed so many churches. And the testimony that a church once bore because of the tongues of the members of that church has destroyed the witness of Jesus Christ in that community. Folks, I'm calling us out today. Do not be party to the sins of the tongue that will destroy the body of Christ. 1 John 5:17 says, that all unrighteousness is a sin. Judging a brother or a sister, whether in your mind or in verbally, is unrighteousness. And again, John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. That thought, that action, that speech, whatever it is, folks, is a sin before God. And I'm calling us out today. Let's shut that down. Let's no longer be guilty of those many sins of the tongue that James is writing about. Be ever mindful. The scripture says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Why? So we don't say it. We think about it, we capture the thought, and we capture it like this. Father, is what I'm about to say going to glorify you? If he says, are you kidding? Don't say it. You say, well, it need to be said. No, it doesn't need to be said. Now that young person has it right. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Go through a process. Pause and in your spirit say, Lord, if I say this, is that something that you want me to say? You can do it quickly. But folks, we'd be a whole lot better to be contemplative than we would just blowing our mouth off. So take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Both idle and intentional words can do irreparable damage to the life of a person. You don't want to be guilty of destroying another human being. Folks, the tongue can bring glory to God, or it can be set on fire by hell. I challenge us today. Watch what we say. And think about what we say before we say it. And if you feel the slightest twitch, don't do it. Watch your tongues, as I will mine. Let's pray. Father, such a challenging passage this morning that I wrestle with all week, knowing that it would probably create some issues in people's lives. Well, Father, I pray the issue that was created in lives this morning is conviction for those in this room who have a problem with their tongue. I pray, Father, you'll not let us up. You'll continue, Holy Spirit, to convict us with each word that comes out of our mouth. And if we have the mind of Christ, Father, that we would only speak those things that you plan in our mind. We don't have to say anything, Lord. We choose to say what we say. But I pray that we choose what you're saying to us before we say it. Help us to be a people who have clean mouths and tongues, who have encouraging mouths and tongues, who praise you with our mouth and our tongue ongoing. Folks, Father, let the mind that we have, the new mind in Christ Jesus, be the control of our tongue and not our flesh. So take, Father, I pray, the willingness of those this morning who would, at this moment, are hearing you and confessing to you. Take their confession, Father, and bless it, I pray. And help them to go forward with clean hands, a pure heart, and a tongue that glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen.